Hey, my friends, we're going to try to figure out the computer, but in the meantime, let's take a look at the first mission again in Kol HaKelim. That's on Daf Kuf Chaf Beis Amid Beis. And the Mishnah tells us that you're allowed to take a kurnus lefatzea bo es ha'gozim. So we have this hammer, and we're going to use it now to crack open the nuts on Shabbos. And the Gemara records a machlokes here in the sugya on Daf Kuf Chaf Beis Amid Beis as to what kind of kurnus we're talking about. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that's the Amora of Yehuda, we're talking about a kurnus shel egozim. And of course, if you have a hammer that's designated to break open nuts, then that's what you're going to do with it. That's a klisha malachta leheter, and you're using it with tzar gufo. The chiddush here of Rabbi Yehuda is that, on the contrary, if it would have been a kurnus shel nefachim, if it would have been a klisha malachta leisa, which means a carpenter's hammer, then you would not be able to use it at all. Not even lefatzea bo es ha'gozim. And the reason for that is because Rav Yehuda is of the opinion that a kli shemalachto le'isur is osur betiltul even litzorech gufo. The Gemara then records the shita of Rabba. Rabba disagrees, and Rabba is of the opinion that the Mishnah is talking about a kurnus shel nefachim, and the Mishnah is matir a kurnus shel nefachim, i.e. a kli shemalachto le'isur lefatzea bo sagozim, because a kli shemalachto le'isur is mutter letaltalo litzorech gufo. That's what we saw as we began this wonderful perek, the perek of Kol HaKelim. Now I'd like to go over with you a tosus here, or at least the highlights of a tosus that we saw already, but let's see it again. And that's the case of Rachas. This is another case in the Mishnah of a kli shemalachto le'isur, which is used in the context of a malacha, namely a maleches zriya with two yuds in it, which is called winnowing in English. And he wants to use this rachas as a plate to feed his child. And here you have Tosfos Dibra Maschil Rachas. Now, in order to appreciate this Tosfos, we have to go back to a sugya in Kira on Daf Memvav Amin Aleph. That's called the sugya of Shraga the Mishcha, and we're talking about a lamp. And Rav Yehuda, have to be very careful here. Rav Yehuda is matir tiltul. He allows you to move a Shraga the Mishcha, and the assumption is that if he allows you to move it, there are no restrictions, no qualifications. He can move it in any way he wants and for any purpose he wants. Which seems to mean that Rabbi Yehuda accepted the position of kli shemalachto le'isur, because what do you do with a lamp? Classically, it's designated to light a fire on it. He didn't light a fire in that Shabbos, but nevertheless, it's a kli that's used for lighting fire. And yet, Rav Yehuda, there on Daf Mem Vav, allowed you to move this lamp. How do we square that with Rav Yehuda here at the beginning of Perek Kol HaKelim, who says that a kli shemalachto le'isur is also l'taltalo, afilu tzar gufo? How do we reconcile the following contradiction? That's Tosfos's problem. On the one hand, Rav Yehuda back in Perek Kira allows you to move a lamp. On the other hand, here Rav Yehuda in Perek Kol HaKelim prohibits you from taking a hammer that's designated for use in carpentry and using it for the purpose of cracking open a gozim. How do we reconcile the two? So Tosfos, as you may recall, offers the following resolution. Yesh Lomar on the second to the last, to, in the bottom lines that get very wide, the second line. Yesh Lomar Delo Asar Rav Yehuda Eladumya Depitsua Egozim Shehi Malacha Grua, that as a general rule, Rav Yehuda would allow you to move a Kli Shemalach Tol Isil Tzorech Gufo, but on the one condition, that Tzorech Gufo has to be a Malacha Chashuva. But if it's a Malacha Grua, in other words, when the manufacturer produces this particular type of a hammer and he sells it on the market, he tells you this is a carpentry hammer. It's worth a lot of money. It's expensive. It's a complicated utensil. And now you want to use it as a nutcracker. You know, a nutcracker is manufactured really cheaply. So that's called a malacha grua. And relative to this particular kli, to use it as a nutcracker, that's called a malacha grua. So in other words, Rav Yehuda fundamentally agrees to the principle that a kli shemalach tol isil, you're allowed to move it l'tzorech gufo, but he qualifies. When are you allowed to use it l'tzorech gufo? That's only for malacha chashuva. But if you're using it for malacha grua, then you're not allowed to. Hence, we can reconcile the two Rav Yehudas. Rav Yehuda over there in Parakira, he's talking about using the lamp for a malacha chashuva, whereas Rav Yehuda here in Perek HaKelim, who prohibits it, he's talking about using the kli shemalach tol isil l'tzorech malacha grua. That means to take a kurna shel nefachim and use it to crack open the agozin. That's called a malacha grua. So let's take a look now at an article here that we photocopied, which is called Kli Shemalachto Le'isul. Does everybody have this in front of them? It's good to see the text inside, if possible. It looks like this, Kli Shemalachto Le'isul. How many people have this?
I should have some.
All right, it seems that most of us have it. If there's an extra copy, we can have one for Abby, we can have one for Don, and that would be excellent. And Don, remind me before you run out today, if I could just get you for 2 minutes to ask you about this whole mess up, you know, with the shiurim that are lost. I don't know if you saw my latest email.
No. I answered the one you sent me last night.
Right.
I haven't been on since then. So.
Oh, okay. Because I sent you a link to that shiur. It is on.
It is on?
So I went back to the head of the whole site, and he told me, how do you find it? You know, so I was looking in the wrong way, and I guess you were too. Right. But this all has to be worked out, because obviously there's something that's not right.
There's a way to search for it. It's fantastic.
Correct. So what I need your help is, I forwarded you his email. Mm-hmm. His name is Rob Scher. He's in charge of the whole site. Mm-hmm. And he tells you how to search for it.
Okay.
But in the meantime, I also sent you a link to the shiur from February 6th or 7th, whatever it was.
Right.
Okay. Bruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehyeh Bidvaro.
I think I had that before. Right?
Yeah. Do I have another copy?
Yeah,
if not, I have the original. But
I had it before, but with extra copies.
Now, before we jump ahead with this essay, I would like to just touch on the following question. What does Tosus mean when he says a malacha grua? And Rabbi Yehuda prohibits you from using a kli shemalach tol isur for a gufa, for a maleches heter, if it's a malacha grua. And we pointed out, David, you were on the ball here, that it's relative to the kli. And it has nothing to do with your need or your urgency. You know, you don't have any. You know, you looked for your nutcracker. You looked here, you looked there. You couldn't find it, and now you're desperate. You know, you have to crack the nuts, so you use the nefachim. No, that's not it. It's not a question of whether you consider it a malacha grua or whether for you it's considered a malacha grua. In this situation, it depends upon the kli, and this all comes down to the fact that originally, and this is going to be a major sugya for us, that originally in time, if we go back in time, Chachamim were very, very inhibited about allowing you to move Kalim. Moving kelim was not today. You know, we think, oh, it's a kli, forget it, you're allowed to move it. But back in the day, it wasn't so simple, and there was a whole historical development with one gzera, and then later a repealing, and then a limitation, and another gzera, and so forth and so on. And the shirayim, the leftover of that whole historical period of all the gzeras, is that, according to Rav Yehuda at least, the vestige of the original inhibition about moving kelim is that we don't move a kli unless it's somehow built into the need of the kli, meaning the kli is designated for a certain function, you need it for that function, that function is mutar on Shabbos, then you're allowed to use it. And when we talk about the designation of the kli, then Rav Yehuda says it has to be a malacha chashuva, which means that it was designated from the get-go, from the manufacturing process, and from the point it was sold on the market, it was designated for that heter. So that in the case of a kurnas shel nefachim, that was designated exclusively for the use of the professional, of the carpenter. But in the case of the lamp apparently could serve multifunctional. It has different designations. It could serve for lighting, and it could serve for other purposes as well. And all that is included in the original designation of the kli. So that's what we discussed already at the beginning of this week, Be'ez Hashem. Now, we want to take a look at this essay. In the first paragraph of the essay, he summarizes the machlokes between Rav Yehuda and Rabba. Whereas Rav Yehuda is of the opinion that the Mishnah is allowing you to use this hammer, which was designated as a nutcracker, Rav, on the other hand, says that the Mishnah has in mind a kurnus shel nefachim that was designated for carpentry work, and yet, even though it's a kli shemalach tol iser, mutol etaltol letzorach gufo. And that's what we're going to paskin like later on in the Gemara on Daf Kuf Chaf Gimel. But in the second paragraph, you'll see that he summarizes Tosfos' question here, starting on line 3 of that paragraph, Vehikshe Tosfos, Stira, Bedivrei Rabbi Yehuda. Dehacha, Sover, Melacha, Sheni, Klisha, Melachto, Isur, Asul, Taltal, Litzar, Gufo. So therefore, you're not allowed to take this Karnos Shel Nefachim and use it, Lefatzea Bo, Kurnas shel nefachim and use it lefatzeh bosag gozim uliel. But in contrast, back in Perakira, Omer of Yehuda, that if you have a ner, right, we call it in Aramaic, it's called a shraga, and it's designated in general to pour shemen into it and put a wick into it. Nevertheless, it's mutal etiltal, which means, clearly, that Rav Yehuda, the Amora, Rav Yehuda, is matir, tiltul of a kli shemalachto le'isur le'tzorach gufo. How does that shtim with what Rav Yehuda says here in the case of kurnas shel nefachim? Ubitosus bir, Tosus explains that, number one, we're not talking about a ner that was lit on Erev Shabbos. That, for sure, is designated for Isur, and it becomes Mukta Machmas Isur, which is something that even Rav Shimon the Tana would accept. And therefore, even after the Nair is extinguished, we're going to accept the Shita right now of Rav Yehuda the Tana, who says, Migu diskatzoy ben ashmosh diskatzoy l'kuliyoma. And therefore, Tosfos says, we have to be referring to a case of a Nair shaloid likubo biosa Shabbos. That although this lamp is designated for lighting a fire, for the Shemen and the Psila, but nevertheless on that particular Shabbos he didn't have any need to light this lamp, and therefore it doesn't come under the category of Mukta Machmas Isur, as would a lamp that was lit Bein HaShmoshes as we enter into Shabbos. Not only that, we have to add the fact that we're talking about a shraga that's made of cheres, correct? And what's it called in the Gemara's language again? Everybody, what's it called? Shraga de Mishcha. Shraga de Mishcha means it's not mo'us, meaning it's not something that that's disgusting or repulsive. He says, therefore, He says, although if it was used in the past, it would become Mos, but that's only according to Rav Yehuda, the Tanu holds Muktzav Achmas Mius, and in this context, we accept the Shita of Rav Shimon, who disagrees, and therefore what we have is the following. A, this lamp was not lit on Erev Shabbos going into Shabbos, so therefore it's not Muktzav Achmas Isur. B, it's not a nair that's been used in the past and became repulsive, and therefore it's not Muktzav Machmas Mius. And even if you'll tell me it was used in the past, we paskin like Rav Shimon that there's no such thing as Muktzav Machmas Mius. So therefore, Rav Yehuda in Masechta Shabbos Perikira is going to allow you to use this Shraga de Mishcha and move it around in any way you want, because it's not muktzah. However, you might ask the following question, and that is, even if it's not muktzah, but it's still a kli shemalach l'isur, and that's where Tosis gives his answer, that kli shemalach l'isur, according to Rav Yehuda, is mutar l'taltalo l'tzorech gufo, but only if it's l'tzorech gufo in a Malacha Chashuva. So there, he wants to use the lamp for a Malacha Chashuva, and therefore Rav Yehuda allows it. There was no Mukta problem, it's only a Kli Shemalach Tol Isur, it's designated generally for Isur. But if you're using it Legufo, for the sake of a Malacha Chashuva, then it's Mukta. Rav Yehuda here, in the case of Kurnas Shel Nefachim, and he wants to use the Lefatzeach Bo Asagoz, and that's already a Malacha Grua. Now at the end of this paragraph, he says, Mikol Makom Hochiach Tosvis Shereb Yehuda Hamora Savak Reb Yehuda Tana. Tosvis is of the view that Reb Yehuda, our Reb Yehuda the Amora, paskins like Reb Yehuda in Mukta, but he's talking about a Shraga de Mishcha which is made of Mateches, and if it's made of Mateches, it doesn't absorb the oils that were used to burn in this Nair in the past, you know, old Shabbosses back when, and if it's not Muktzav Machmas Mius. So even if I paskin like Rav Yehuda the Tana in Muktzav Machmas Isur, the case of Shraga de Mishcha, which Rav Yehuda the Amora was Matir, is a case where it wasn't Muktzav Machmas Mius. Now in the next paragraph, he says, at the end of the day, Rav Yehuda the Amora says that if you have this Nair Shal Mateches, so it's not Muktzav Machmas Mius. Number one, lo idliku bo bo shabbos, and therefore it's not a Muktzav Machmas Isur, mutal etaltala. So Tosus asks, but nevertheless, at the end of the day, it's a klisha malachto l'isur. And Rav Yehuda here in Perek Kol HaKelim prohibits you from moving a klisha malachto l'isur. And here's what Tosus says, his whole shtickle Torah, to differentiate between a malacha chashuva and a malacha grua. But here's a chiddush that I was not aware of, and that's the paragraph that starts Ubaramban. So I hope that everyone has the same place, because here's where the action begins. Ubaramban. Because the following. One of the great Sephardic Rishonim was the Ravad, Rabbeinu Avram ben David. He lived in an area called Provence, and he had a tremendous impact. And he's often quoted by his contemporaries, the Chachmei Sfarad, and those who came after him, especially by the Ramban and the Rashba. So the Ramban quotes a Ravid, a Ravad, who has a whole new approach to reconcile this contradiction that we've been focusing our attention on. Says the Ravad, we made a mistake. We jumped the gun, or I guess you'd say we jumped the nair, and we assumed that this nair, which is designated for lighting on Shabbos or lighting on during the week, is a kli shemalach l'isur. And then we found the contradiction. How could Rav Yehuda allow moving this Nair, which is a Kli Shemalach Tol Isur, when he himself says that you don't move a Kli Shemalach Tol Isur in the case of Kurnas Shel Nefachim? So the Ravid says, guess what? I have news for you. The Nair is not a Kli Shemalacha L'Isa. Very interesting. I don't get it. What do you use this Nair for? You pour oil into the Nair. You put a wick into the Nair. You light the wick. That's a Kli Shemalacha L'Isa. That's designated for Hadlaka. He says, no. You have to differentiate between the Nair itself and what you put into the Nair. The Nair itself could be used in many different ways. It could be that in general you use it for Isur, but that doesn't make it into a Kli Shemalacha L'Isur. A Kli Shemalacha L'Isur means that the nature of the Kli itself, you know, the structure, the physical, the material, the way it was created, the way it was manufactured for Isur. We're not talking about a Kli that could be used in many different ways and has many different functions. So now, if we want to determine and establish that this is a Kli Shemalacha L'Isur, we have to assume that this Kli will become Isur. What does that mean, the Kli will become Isur? The Kli never becomes Isur. Like, for example, Ben, you mentioned the other day Balei Chaim, animals. Could be that animals could become Asur. Or you talk about a Bechar, a firstborn. That could become Asur. Then you could talk about Muktzah Machmas Isur. Or, for example, you have a candle that's lit. A lit candle could be called a Muktzah Machmas Isur. The candle itself, whether it's the wick, whether it's the oil, I don't know, maybe it's the Shalheves, Rashi says, that's called Isur. That's Muktzah Machmas Isur. But the Kli itself is not Muktzah Machmas Isur. Meaning the Nair that's holding on as a receptacle to the Shemen and to the wick is not called a Kli Shemalacha L'Isur. You see, in the case of Kurna Shel Nefachim, the Ravid says, that's a Kli Shemalacha L'Isur, because the very nature of the Kli is to use it for a Malacha. So anything that's designated to use as a malacha, for example, this would be a Kli Shemalacha L'Isur. You manufacture a pen, what do you use it for? For writing. That's called a Kli Shemalacha L'Isur. It's a malacha entity. Right? But in the case of a Nair is not a malacha entity. It could be that the Shemen, or more likely the wick that's lit, that's a malacha entity, and that would be Muktzah. And that would be a Kli Shemalacha L'Isur, but not the Kli itself. The Kli itself can be used in so many different ways. So let me ask you a question. If the Kli itself is not Muktzah, and it's not even a Kli Shemalacha L'Isur, so let me be very radical over here. I'll be a heretic. Even if I lit the Kli, even if I lit the lamp, why can't I move the lamp? So I know what you'll tell me. Maybe I'll cause kibbutz. I'll be very careful, I promise you. You know, I'll move it gently and slowly, you know, piece by piece. I won't cause it to go out.
Because now you have the psila and the shalhabas.
Oh, so what is that called? That's not muktzah machmas isur, says the Ravid. That's called a bosis. Let's understand. The isur itself is in the nair, meaning the lit wick. The candle, the lamp, is not asur. It's a vehicle, it's a utensil, it can be used for many different things. And it's not asur. There's nothing asur in the Kli. Right? What do you use the Kli for? You can use it for many different things. Oh, now I used it for lighting. Says the Ravid. That makes it into a basis l'dovr asur. But says the Ravid, when is it a basis l'dovr asur? That's if it's lit. But if it's not lit, which is the case of Rabbi Yehuda and Perakira, then it's not a basis l'dovr asur. So for sure you're allowed to move it. So let's try to break down this Ravid into its various premises. I think there are three premises that he's operating with. He says the following, Ner lo nechshav kli shemalacha l'isur. His first premise is that the Ner unto itself is not malacha l'isur. What do you mean malacha l'isur? The malacha l'isur is the light, you know, the flame. That's called isur, but not the kli. This kli, in and of itself, if you isolate it, it has no relationship to isur. Premise number two. Well, if the Kli is not called Muktzah Machmas Isur or Kli Shemalacha L'Isur, so why can't I move it even if it's lit? And here comes premise number two, that if the lamp is lit, then you can't move the lamp for a different reason. Not because the lamp is mukta, not because it's a klisha malato le'isur, but because it's a basis le'davar asur. The real isur here is what? Is the shalheves. But the ner itself, the kli itself, is now a basis for the shalheves. And now we get to premise number three, which is simply grinding out, the first two premises. Therefore, the conclusion is, says the Raifid, if this lamp has not been lit on this Shabbos, then for sure it's mutter. Mimanafshach. As a kli, which is what it is now, it's not malach, it's not mukta machmas isa. There's no isa involved in moving this lamp. Number two, it's not even a klisha malachto li. Excuse me. It's not even a klisha malachto li isur. Why? Because it'll never become a malachto li isur. Ella, what? You're going to tell me it's a basis l'davar asur. But it's not a basis l'davar asur because you didn't light it. That's what Rav Yehuda is saying in Perikiru. V'lo amru klisha malachto li isur pekagon. When is Rav Yehuda here in Perikol HaKelim upset and hesitant about moving a kli? When does it become a klisha malachto li isur? That's kagon patish kurnus umasar and asor shebehem atzmam osim meleches isur. When the kli itself is used as a maisa malacha, that's called a klisha malachto le'isur. If it's designated for a maisa malacha, like in the case of a hammer that's used by the carpenters, or the axe that's used by the wood choppers, that's a klisha malachto le'isur. But the ner is never used as a malacha. I don't use this receptacle, this lamp, as for any malacha whatsoever. So the worst case scenario, if the lamp is lit, I can call it a basis l'davar asur. But if it's not lit, then it's mutter. Let's go back to Tosus. In contrast, Tosus defines and has no question about the premise that a lamp is a kli shemalachto le'isur. Meaning, if this kli is designated so that I do a malacha inside the kli, not that the kli is going to be used for the malacha. The malacha is being done in the kli. That makes it into a kli shemalachto le'isur. And Rav Yehuda is going to allow you to move it litzorech gufo b'malacha chashuva. The Raivad, on the other hand, says no. The lamp is not a kli shemalachto le'isur.
What would he say by kli shemalachto le'isur? We don't know.
Who, the Raivad himself? I would say that he goes back to the Havamin of Tosus, that according to Rav Yehuda, kli shemalachto le'isur is asur even l'tzor gufo l'fatzei bo'as ha'gozim. I don't think he makes this distinction between a malacha grua and a malacha chashuva. Now, this essay sets for its goal, the objective is to put this machlokes between Tosus and the Raivid regarding the status of a lamp into a broader perspective. And here he refers to the Tosus of Trumpets. I always call this the Tosus of Trumpets, and this is on Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. And Tosfos says the following on Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. There is a fundamental distinction, and we discussed it yesterday at great length, between mukta and kli shemalachto le'isur. Whereas mukta, we said, if you recall, is an isur chefta, tiltal of a kli shemalachto le'isur is only an isa gavra, an isa tiltal. We said there might be a difference as far as kikar tinok is concerned, and the whole sugya that we learned yesterday with the Baal Amor and the Chacham Echad Sheba Oso Ador. That fundamental distinction is well established. And Tosus says that although there's a machlokes between Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon, the Tanoim, in mukta, there's no machlokas with regard to kli shemalachto le'isur. So the paradox here is the following. The Tana Rabbi Shimon, who's mekil in mukta, is going to accept the chumrah of Tiltul Kalev. Because as we said yesterday, Tiltul Kalev is a separate independent Iser, a separate Gzera that Chazal wanted to keep you away from certain Kalev that it designated for Iser. And therefore Tosus says that even Rav Shimon, and this you want to underline please, in the second line of the paragraph that starts with Mavur, even Rav Shimon, he says, the Lesley Mukta, he rejects Mukta, but Moda, he accepts the Gzera of Kli Shemalachta L'Isa. And therefore, we're going to paskin like Rav Shimon, and we are going to accept the Iser of Kli Shemalachta L'Isa. We're only going to allow you to move a Kli Shemalachta L'Isa L'Tzarech Gufo or L'Tzarech Mekomo, but not Michamal itself. Tosis there goes on to say that Rav Yehuda the Tana also accepts this tiltul, this gzera of tiltul, beklisha malachto le'isur. It means, therefore, that there's no difference whatsoever between Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon with regard to a klisha malachto le'isur. As far as tiltul, it's our kufa, it's our makoma, they're both matir. As far as tiltul, michama le'tzel, they're both aserid. The whole machlokas, according to Tosis, between Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon is only with regard to mukta. So, for example, if you have trumpets, and the whole purpose of the trumpets is to use it for Easter, it has no other purpose, it's singularly designated to make music, then Tosis says that becomes mukta. That becomes a klisha malachto le'isur, and then it becomes the subject of a machlokas between Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon. Again, I would say the following. Tosis is not denying that trumpets fall into the category of klisha malachto le'isur. They're certainly designated for Iser. But Tosis says, can I upgrade the severity, the chumras ha'Iser, from that of a tiltul kalim to that of mukta in the case of trumpets? Tosis says yes. Why? Because a klisha malachto le'isur is multifunctional. Its primary function is le'isur. But the trumpets have only one function, and they're exclusively dedicated to Iser. That makes them mukta. And which mukta, or who will accept that mukta? Rav Yehuda. Whenever we hear the word mukta, we know it's Rav Yehuda. Now, it doesn't mean that, you know, we have a principle called Yesh B'Klal Masayim Mana, which means that if you have 200, you also have 100. A mukta, in the case of something that's exclusively dedicated for Iser, is certainly at the same time a klisha malachto le'isur. It's like you have a big A and a small A. It certainly has a small A. And therefore, if you ask me, are you allowed to move trumpets on Shabbos, if we paskin like Rav Shimon or the Lesley Mukta, the answer is no, you can't move trumpets on Shabbos unless you're moving it L'Tzarech Gufo, L'Tzarech Mekomo. Because again, Rav Shimon also accepts the Iser of Tiltul, Klisha Malachto L'Iser. So at the very least, a trumpet is a Klisha Malachto L'Iser. The Chiddush of Tosis is that we can upgrade it to the level of Mukta according to Rav Yehuda, and therefore if we were to paskin like Rav Yehuda, it becomes Mukta Machmas Isur. And we're going to soon see that it's very possible that in the Psak Halacha, although we accept Rav Shimon as a general rule, for example, in the case of Mukta Machmas Mius, we're going to paskin like Rav Shimon that there is no such thing as Mukta Machmas Mius. But nevertheless, it could be that in Mukta Machmas Isur, like the case of Ner Hadolek, we might paskin like Rav Yehuda. So therefore, trumpets might become mukta. But let's think about the Nafkamina now. If we go back to the Chacham Echad, Me'oso Adar, in the Baal Amor, which we identified yesterday as the Ravan, because the Rosh quotes the Ravan, and he says that if you're talking about Tiltul, Klish, and Malachal Isa, you could put on top of it what? Tinoch. A Kikar Tinok. Whereas if you're talking about Mukta Mamish, then Kikar Tinok is not going to help you. So Aloch L'maisa, assuming we paskin that the trumpets are only Asur B'Tiltul B'Toras Kalim, but not B'Toras Mukta, because as far as Mukta is concerned, perhaps we accept Rav Shimon. Again, I hear the word perhaps, because there are cases of Mukta Machmas Iser that we do accept Rabbi Yehuda. But I would say in the case of trumpets, perhaps it's not a muktzah machmas isur case according to Rabbi Shimon, and therefore we might paskin its mutter, but it still remains a kli shemalatol isur. And if it's a kli shemalatol isur, says the chacham echad michachme hadar, that you're allowed to utilize the heter of kikar tinok. So again, there's a very interesting nafkamina here. I'll give you another nafkamina, which is not relevant to trumpets per se, because I told you that only Curious George was mistaken about feeding a trumpet to an ostrich, but we don't eat trumpets. But let's say it was a foodstuff, and somehow it would only come under the Isur Tiltul, then you would remove the Isur Achila, meaning one of the chumras of the Isur Cheftz of Muktzah is that it generates an Isur Achila, which we once argued, it might even be a Dover Sheish Lomatir, which is never bottled in the Taromis. I mean, then you have to see the sugya at the beginning of Beitzah. So now we're up to the paragraph on the bottom right, going on to the top left, Vochiach Tosus Miner, Sovrat Tosus Shehu Kli Shemalachto Le'isur. Tosus classifies Ner, the Shraga case, as a Kli Shemalachto Le'isur. And the Gemara says on Daf Mem Dalid, explicitly, that we have a double machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Okay, so we're talking about... I had a whole bunch of tissues and I don't know what I did with them. I'm sorry, man. I didn't mean to really trouble you, but thanks. So let's just... Okay, where's Ben? He got lost. This is right here. Okay. Maybe I'll take this opportunity to just swallow a pill here because I see that. Thanks, Ben. You got me the fancy ones. The cheaper ones here, right here. Okay, thanks. Okay. So what's the double machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda? And we're talking about Ner Shedliku Bo B'Knisas HaShabbos. So according to Rabbi Shimon, the moment that the Ner is extinguished, there's no Muktzah, because Rabbi Shimon rejects Migu. And Rabbi Yehuda embraces the principle of Migu, and therefore even after the candle goes out, it remains Muktzah. That's number one. Number two, Ner Shel Cheres, and you remember that the china absorbs all the filth and the fuel that was used to light it. Since it was used in the past, it becomes Muktzah Machmas Mius. That's the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Shimon rejects Muktzah Machmas Mius. We also, by the way, could add here the case of Tamra de Iska, which we discussed at great length. It means he designated for marketing, and he packaged it up and put it in his otzar, and now he wants to use it for his table. Rav Shimon allows it. And that would be similar to the case of Ner Shalcheres. And that means that even though a person doesn't generally use a Ner Shalcheres because it's Mos, but nevertheless he might use it. And since it retains its status as a Kli, even though it's Mos, and in the case of Tamar Diska, retains its status as Ochel, is therefore Rav Shimon says a Kli is Mechin as Atzmo, it doesn't need a Maisachana, and Ochel doesn't need a Maisachana. The Omru Atosvis, Shenimtza B'divrei HaGemara Shel Rabbi Yehuda Atana Ner Shel Mateches. So let's say you have a Ner Shel Mateches, as we said before, even if you've used it on multiple occasions, it doesn't absorb, and therefore it's not a Muktzah Machmas Mius case. Ela what? It might be Muktzah Machmas Isur, but that's only if you lit it. In the case of a Ner Shel Mateches, Shelo Edliku Bo Ba'osa Shabbos, is Eino Muktzah. Sharei Mateches, Hu V'Eino Muktzah Machmas Mius, V'lo Edliku Bo Ba'osa Shabbos, V'Ein Bo Migu Diskatzoi, Mishu Muktzah Machmas Isur. The Eino Mukts. Fine. Now let me ask you a question. This Nair, am I allowed to move it? Again, it's a Nair Shal Mateches. There's no Mius. It's not Mukts Machmas Isu because you didn't light it. Are you allowed to move it?
Still a Klisha Malachta L'Isur.
It's still a Klisha Malachta L'Isur. And there's no Machlokas about Klisha Malachta L'Isur. The Afshahu Klisha Malachta L'Isur is Modeh. Modeh. I'm not sure what he has. You have Reish Chaf? Okay. It should be Reish Yud. I don't know. It's a mistake. It should be Modeh Rabbi Yehuda Shemuta L'Taltalo L'Tzar Gufo O L'Tzar Makomo. So again, if you have a Nair that you lit on Shabbos and it went out in the middle of Shabbos, that's going to be a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Shimon. If you have a Nair Shel Cheres that was used in Pesach Shabbosim, even though now you're not lighting it, that's a machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Shimon. But if you have a Nair that you didn't light and it's made of Mateches, then even Rabbi Yehuda would agree it's not Mukta. I mean, Marav Shach, it's not Mukta. It's not Mukta Machmas Isu because you didn't light it. It's not Mukta Machmas Mius because it's made of Mateches. But you drop it down one level to the Isur Tiltul Kalim, and so far as it's a Klisha Malachta L'Isur, that's the sheet of Tosvis. And even Reb Shimon agrees that a Klisha Malachta L'Isur is also L'Taltalo L'Tzorech Mi'chama L'Tzel. You're only Mutal L'Taltalo L'Tzorech Gufo L'Tzorech Makom.
So you were talking about Reb Shimon or Reb Yehuda?
Yeah. No, he's saying that he's trying to clear the path to the case where there is no machlokas. So he has two cases where there's machlokas. Rabbi Yehuda prohibits it, Bitaris Mukta. So that's number one, Ner Shedlikubo with the Migu even when it went out. Number two, Matan Amius in the case of Ner Shel Cheres. Now he wants to tell you, but there is one case where Rabbi Yehuda embraces the Shita of Rabbi Shimon and you're allowed to move it. And that's going to be the case of a Nair Shal Matecha Shaloed Liku Bobos Shabbos, which is only a Klisha Malachta L'Isur, and therefore you're allowed to move it.
Isn't that only for Melacha Chashuva?
Well, he's not going into that issue here. Don't forget, he's now preparing the ground to explain the Machlok Shin, the Ravid and Tosus. So he's not, you know, Tosus goes a step further. And he says that Rav Yehuda himself, but that's Rav Yehuda the Emora.
So he means Rav Yehuda the Tana.
Correct. This whole discussion
Rav
is
Yehuda
about
the Tana.
Yeah. Okay. This paragraph, again, you should really cut it and paste it as almost an introduction to Mukta. Meaning, all of Mukta is about the Machlok Shin Rav Yehuda Rav Shib, and we've been spending months on that. This paragraph should be really an introduction to the sugyas of Mukta. Because what he's doing for us here is he's telling you, A, that there's a double machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, and Mukta. B, that there's a case where even Rabbi Yehuda, who accepts Mukta, would agree that it's not Mukta. But C, although Rabbi Yehuda would agree it's not Mukta, it still falls into a different category of an Issa Tilta, which is called Klisha Malachta L'Issa, and that's only Mutta L'Tzach Gufa L'Tzach Makoma. Now, if you want to discuss Rabbi Yehuda the Amora, then you're talking about a Klisha Malachta L'Isa, which you're only allowed to move it in a very limited Tzarek Gufo, and that means L'Tzarek Malacha Chashuva. But right now, that's not what he's addressing. Now, keep in mind that this entire paragraph begins with the words Hochiach Tosfos. He's not yet ready for the Ravid. He's going to come back to the Ravid because this premise that the Ner Shel Mateches, which was not lit on this Shabbos, is a Klisha Malachta L'Isur, that's only Shitas HaTosus. The Ravid holds that it's not even a Klisha Malachta L'Isur. Because the Ravid holds, if you look at the Kli itself, the Kli has many different functions. And you don't use this kli for a malacha, or you don't do a malacha with the kli. And that's the Ravid's definition of kli shemalachta l'isa means if you want to accomplish a certain malacha, you do so with the kli. That's not true, says the Ravid, in the case of a lamp, because in the case of the lamp, you don't do the malacha with the lamp, you do the malacha with the shalevis. And all you can do, in the worst case scenario, is classify the lamp as Bosses l'davar asur, but that only applies if you lit it on that Shabbos. So therefore, getting back to Shraga the Mishcha in Kira on Daf Lamed Vav, I'm sorry, in Kira on Daf Mem Vav, there Rav Yehuda is going to allow you to move a Shraga the Mishcha without any restrictions whatsoever, according to the Rav, because it wasn't lit on Erev Shabbos, and it's not even a klisha malach l'isa. However, Tosfos' sheet is no. He has a broader definition of klisha malach l'isa, which includes a lamp as well. So the big machlokus between the Ravid and Tosfos, according to the Amora review, there's going to be whether Rav Yehuda is going to allow you to move a lamp Michamel Itzel, if that lamp was not lit on Erev Shabbos. Let's go over this. According to Tosfos, Rav Yehuda classifies the lamp as a klishim lachalis, so you want to move it Michamel Itzel, don't even dream about that. According to the Ravid, on the other hand, the lamp is not a klishim lachalis, so you'll have to move it for any purpose, except shalom it's our klal, but as long as you have a purpose, it's okay. And now he quotes Rabbi Kiveger. Rabbi Kiva Eger makes a comment on the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch in Siman Reish Ayin Tes, I had a copy of the Mishnah Berurah, but I don't know where it disappeared. I'd love to see it inside again, but he says that a ner, Bein Shel Mateches, Bein Shel Cheres, you're allowed to move it if Lo Edliku Bo Bosa Shabbos. Why? Because we paskin like Reb Shimon. Oh, thank you very much. Okay, Reish Ayin Tes. Oh. He says the following, Ner shelo hidliku bo ba'osa Shabbos. Now, we don't even have to limit ourselves to Mateches, because the problem of Cheres would only be according to Rav Yehuda, because it's Muktzah Machmas Mius, but we pass like Rav Shimon and we reject Muktzah Machmas Mius. So therefore, Ne'er Shalom and Likabo B'Shabbos, Afilu Shal Cheres, Demois, Vafilu Hu Shal Neft Demasriach, because again, Rav Yehuda, the Amora back in Kira, is not impressed by the fact that it was used for a very bad smelling fuel. And we don't have this extreme case of mius. Is mutal etaltalo. Now, when you read those two words, mutal etaltalo, what does that imply? We have a rule. You have to get this rule down. Anything that's unqualified is unqualified. And he doesn't qualify it. He doesn't say mutal etaltalo litzarech gufo, litzarech makomo. He says mutal etaltalo. In other words, all he does for us is tell us that there's no Isur Mukta here. Was the Mechaber completely unaware of the category called Tiltal Kalim, a Klisha Malatal Isur? Says Rav Kiveger, what's going on over here? Hiksha, he quotes the Magen Avraham, Madu Alo Hidgish, why didn't the Shulchan Aruch emphasize Shemutal Taltal Litzarech Gufal Tzarech Makomo, but not Litzarech Chamal Itzel? Vohavi klisha malach talisa. Tirutz Rabbi Kiveger, sha'omnam zui das hatosmus. That Tosus would say that the lamp is a klisha malach talisa, but the Shulchan Aruch is not committed to paskin like Tosus. Haramban varash bosh a vius harayvin is eno klisha malach talisa. So it's unbelievable, Rabbi. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Chachmei Sfarah, the Ravid, that a lamp is not a klisha malach talisa. Now, Rabbi, I don't know, and this requires a little bit more research. Well, this is going to be up your alley if you could help me with this. What about our lamps? Meaning, the Ravid's lamp was a little different than our lamp. What do I mean? In the case of a ner at the time of Chazal, the ner was a receptacle. I call it a bowl. You know, you want to eat your cereal in it, you eat your cereal in it. You wouldn't normally do so because it's moos if it's made of cheres, but if you're desperate, that's what you're going to do. So that makes it into a kli. And the Ravid says it's a kli, and it's not malachal iser. I mean, it's true that you're going to put a wick inside of it. In a general case, that's what it's usually designated for, but that's not kli shem malachal iser, according to the Ravid sheet. It's, you know, it could be that that it's a basis l'davar asur in certain cases, but it's not a kli shem malachal iser. But owl lamps, I don't know what the Ravid would say about owl lamps. You know, owl lamps might come under the, you know, the discussion that we had before about trumpets, meaning the only way I could get light in my room is by lighting the lamp. Unless you want to say that there's the lamp and there's the bulb in the lamp. So if there's no bulb in the lamp, maybe that would make a difference. But let's say the bulb is permanently affixed to the lamp. Do we have such a reality in our contemporary? No. Meaning where you have a structure and the entire structure includes the lamp in it. You know, now they have these long-lasting halogen lamps or whatever it is.
LEDs,
all that stuff. Let's say you had an LED that was built into the lamp itself. And you can no longer make the Ravid's distinction between the Ner and the Shemen and the Psila. Because the Shemen and the Psila are built into the Ner. If you had such a mitzias in contemporary life, then it could be even the Ravid would agree that's a kli shem lach talisa. Because how do I light how do I get my fire going, my light going? By lighting this lamp. It's not like I light something on the lamp or connect something to the lamp. I screw a bulb into the lamp. It's built into the lamp itself. Or for example, what would the Ravid say about a bulb? Here's a bulb on the table. Would that be a klisha malachta l'isa? Because what do I do with the bulb? Nothing. Except for lighting with the bulb. No, it has no other function. It's not a kli unto itself. It's a klisha malachta l'isa. It's like a kurna shel nefachim. Interesting, no? I mean, fascinating questions. Now, all this would have been theoretical until I saw the Shulchan Aruch, that the Shulchan Aruch Paschal is like with the Ravid. So when we learn the Ravid Shita, it's not theoretical. Normally, the Ramah would make a comment because he represents the Ashkenazim. So the Balei HaTosfos should have been quoted here in the Ramah. So I'm not sure exactly why the Ramah leaves out, he drops the ball on the Ashkenazim here. And the one or two answers. Either the Ramah accepted the Psak like the Ravid in this case, like the Shulchan Aruch did, or alternatively, maybe he felt that the Mechab, he doesn't feel compelled to comment on this Mechab, but the Mechab is only dealing with Muksa. He's not dealing with Tiltul Kalim at this point. What's the name of this Simon? Let's just see. Dine Tiltul Ner B'Shabbos. So the opening line in Reish Ayin Tes is there should legal Bobos the Shabbos. He's talking about Muksa Mamish. So therefore, when he gets to Sif Vav, Shalom Liku Bobos HaShabbos, he's still talking about Mukta. He's not talking about Tiltu. But that's a little bit dachuk. I don't know where the Ramah was over here. Was he sleeping? I mean, what happened to the Ramah here? So that I don't know. Maybe we'll get some answer to that. But this Rabbi Kivager is absolutely stunning. Because Rabbi Kivager is proving us that from the fact that the Mechaba did not qualify, anything that's unqualified is unqualified. Which means that as an absolute rule, you're allowed to move this lamp. And even if it's made of cheres, because we paskin that mukta machmas mius like Rav Shimon is not mukta. What happened to klisha v'latol iser over here? What about the, you know, the iser tiltul michamol etzel? The answer is that it's not a klisha v'latol iser because we're paskin like the Ravid. Od matzinu ke'ein zeh. Again, he's giving us the broader perspective. In the Sugya Daf Mem Dalet of Rav. Rav says, Mita sheyichto lemos. He designates a couch for holding on to his wallet. His mos. Now, by the way, I shouldn't have really mentioned the wallet, because a wallet might be a kli. The whole idea of mita shiyichtu lemos is that the mos is like eitzim v'avonin. It's muktzim achmas gufo. I don't know, the arnaki might be a basis l'dover also, because what do you put inside an arnaki? You put in a wallet, you put mos, you put money. But he's talking about the mos themselves. I still don't understand the sociology here. Why would anyone designate a couch for mos? Maybe the couch has different pouches in it, or that I can't exactly, it's not like our couch. It can't be. I mean, we don't put money on it, you know, in a couch. But keep in mind, when it says yichtol mos, there are no mos on the couch now. Going into Shabbos, there are no mos. Because I don't need Rav for that. That's a case of mukta, which even Reb Shimon would accept. But here we're talking about yichtol mos. He designated it for mos. Let's say in the past he's used it for mos. Now he has no mos. It's asul etaltul. Why? Because Rabbi Yehuda. Because Rav accepts the shita of Rabbi Yehuda meaning the Tano. And Tosus explains that once he was miyached the mita, he designated for Mos, the mita becomes a klisha malachta leisa. Now this doesn't make any sense at all. Because if you're defining and categorizing the mita as klisha malachta leisa, then it's mutal tzok guful tzok makoma. And if that be the case, this has nothing to do with the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. This has to do with classifying a kli as a klisha malachta leisa. And it's very interesting. A couch itself is not a klisha malachta leisa, but once you designate it as a safe deposit box, it becomes a klisha malachta leisa. Im kein lechora mutal taltal etzok gufum koma. So why does Rav say osel etaltala? And again, unqualified means unqualified. Rav absolutely prohibits tiltal. Ubiratosus the hachashini she yichta rak libeleches iser bilvad. What does that sound like, Rabosai? Do you hear the blast?
Rock is.
It sounds like the trumpets. Nobody's with me here. Again, what was Tosu's point about the trumpets?
Something that's only used for
correct, it's exclusively dedicated for Easter. You don't use trumpets for anything than making music. Here also, you've decided, although again, in the nature of the couch itself, if not for your decision, it would be a klisha malachta lehetta, but once you decide that you want to use it exclusively for Mos, it becomes not only a klisha malachta le'isur, but I can jack it up one more level to a muktzah mamish. And that's what Rav means when he says mito sheyichtol mos osel etaltal period. Even litzark gufo, litzark makoma. But again, all this means that we're reflecting the shita Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda says that if you have a kli, it can become mukta. Why does a kli become mukta? Because you designated it exclusively for Isur, not Rabbi Shimon. Ubazeh lefi Rabbi Yehuda avi mukta gomur velora kli shemalakta leisur. So there's no heter of tiltul itzar guful itzar makoma. Sherak ikar malakta leisur. When do we call something a klisha malachta leisur? It's only when the main designation is for Isur. But at certain times and other occasions, you use it for heta. Like, for example, the case of the hammer, which is used by the carpenter for malacha, but it's also used, if need be, to crack a gozim. Or any other sort of a sharp knife that might be used, a sickle, or I don't know, a saw and an axe, and all these things that could be used in heta as well. But here, says Tosus, this is not a malacha klisha malachta leisur. This is not like the hammer case. Why? Because yichta hamita rak. That's the, you have to underline the word rak. Okay? This is worth 300. This is mamish. Rak lemeleches isur. Lefi, Rabbi Yehuda holds that you can take a klisha malachta leisur and you could say, I only want it exclusively for the Ikara Isur and not for any of the other tefillim or the other secondary kind of usages, then it becomes mukta. Vavi mukta gomer, ach, le Rabbi Shimon de Lesley mukta, is Bameshi yichta rak le shimush al Isur, havi rak, klisha malachta le Isur, and mutta le taltun sar guvut sar makoma, but Rav Paskin's like the Tana Rav Yehud. Beautiful. Well, Bosai, I'm very excited because I finally understand something. Or at least I think I do. I mean, the pieces of the puzzle are beginning to fit into place. They're like, you know, something's going on here. And my the part of my brain that's capable of intelligent thinking is piercing through all the other clouds of this cold that I have. and I still am able to somehow see the sunlight. But Rif Hishmit members who the Rav, why did the Rif omit the statement of Rav about Mita Shiyifta Lemos? The answer is because Rav is standing on the shoulders of Rav Yehuda, the Islay Mukta. We don't accept Rav Yehuda. Wait a minute. It still remains a cliche malakta le'isu, right? He designated for Isu, and Rabbi Shimon also agrees to cliche malakta le'isu. That's a little bit difficult. So again, you know, on one level, in terms of Hilchus Mukta, I understand very well, I can justify why the Rif omitted the member of Rav, because Rav went as far as to say that Mita Shiyata Lemos is also a tiltal period, unqualified, because it's Mukta Mamish. But on the other hand, although we accept Rav Shimon, La'alocha, we don't accept Mukta, but nevertheless, you know, the Rif should have mentioned this halach at least to teach me that it's a klisha malata le'isur, this couch, because I designated it for Mos. And in fact, our Gos Hashri, which is a super commentary on the Rush, says that halacha, this mita sheyichto le'mos, you're allowed to move it, but only the tzor gufel and tzor makoma, but mechamel itzel, it's a klisha malata le'isur, the shulchan aruch and siman shin yud, paskins the din of mita sheyichto le'mos. And he says, if there are no mos right now, and it's not a bosses, it's mutal taltala. Simon Shin Yud. Let's see if we can find this. He doesn't tell you where in Simon Shin Yud. Well, Simon Shin Yud goes on and on. Let's just see if we, by chance, we can find this. Oh. Sif Zion, he writes, Mita Sheyeshal Mos. Or the Wamos going into Shabbos, also the Talto. Fine. Aval im ein aleh mos, velo hayu aleh mos ben eshmosh, is mutu le taltala. Again, the guy came and he put mos on top of the, couch. No, I'm sorry. Scratch that. Okay, that's the cold part of my brain. Okay. Aval im ein aleh atamos, velo hayu mos aleh ben eshmosh. So again, what do you have? You have a beautiful couch, and you want to move it out to the bedroom, out to the porch, wherever you want to move it, right? He says, even though he was miyachet this couch for Mos, mutal taltala. Now, when he says mutal taltala, what rule do we want to apply? Help me out here, Don. Anything that's not qualified?
It's not qualified.
It's not qualified. So if that be the case, then mutal taltala means evil itzar, gufal itzar, makoma. So on this we have a gra, the Vilna Gaon says. Hiksha gra, the last line on the page. Why didn't the Mechabrit mention that you're not allowed to move it? Mechamel itzel. Here we move on to the other page. Rav Kiveger there says that this is a Shulchan Aruch l'shitaso. Why? Because the Shulchan Aruch holds that Mita is the same as a Ner, and a Ner, according to the Ravid, is not a klisha malachta le'isur. And Kolshkein in the case of a Mita. In other words, if in an air, which we intuitively we would say that an air is a klisha malakal isur, it's dedicated for isur, and the Ravid says no, it's a kli, and you don't do the malacha with the kli. How much more so in the case of a Mita, would the Ravid say that it's not a klisha malakal isur? So okay, you dedicated it for isur. Yeah, so what? It could become a busus l'davrasa, but it's not a klisha malakta le'isur. It's kevan di'ein osim ba malechas isur. There's no malechas isur you can do with a couch. El shabunach ha'isur olav is therefore you're allowed to move it even michama l'tzel. You don't have to.
Better example for the Rav Shita.
Beautiful. It's much better for the Rav. But it's all the Shulchan Aruch l'shitaso, says Rabbi Kiveger. So we combine together two comments in Rabbi Kiveger, both corresponding to two different simanim and comments of the Shulchan Aruch. The first one was Siman Reish Ayin Tes. The second one was Siman Shin Yud. And in both cases, the Machaber seems to do the following. He tells you that if it's not Mukta, you're allowed to move it. What do you mean you're allowed to move it? It's a klisha malachalis, and the answer is the Rabbi would say it's not a klisha malachalis. Thank you.
Who wrote this?
This is Rav Ozer. He's the Rosh Hashiva in Itri. But he didn't write this. I wish he had written it, because if he had written it, I wouldn't be breaking my teeth trying to read it. It was written by a Talmud. And again, I have all the respect for the Talmud, but there were a lot of mistakes here. There was no editing. If I had the time, I would write extensive comments here, send it in to this Talmud who's writing it up, and do a better job if you republish it. So nobody has this Sefer except for you and I. I got it from my son-in-law, because my newest son-in-law, who just got married to my daughter just about, two or three months ago?
Exactly.
Yeah. Thank you. So my new son-in-law learns in that yeshiva, and he was able to get the copy of this. It's not even printed. It's not even published.
It's top secret, huh?
Yeah, this is top secret. You know, we got it hot off the press. It even smells hot. Okay, so we're going to stop here, but first I want to just introduce the next paragraph here. He says that this is on 253.
It says 252. It's not a simple little paragraph. I mean, is it
no.
a book?
Yeah, I'll show it to you, but it's not in a book form. They basically just photo offset it, and then they put a plastic cover around it, so to speak.
Okay.
But I just wanted to point out this, that the next paragraph opens up a very interesting challenge, and he sets for himself the goal of trying to trace back the roots of this machlokas between Tosfos and the Ravid. And he says the following, if you take a look at the heading, he says, Das HaTosfos, the Klisha Malachto Le'isur, Eino Mishum Gzeras Mukta, V'af Rabbi Shimon Modeba. So this entire discussion is going to be very relevant for us, because we have hacked a right over and over again that Tiltul Mukta, I'm sorry, that Tiltul Kalim is not Mukta. It's a separate category. And the Nafka Mina is going to be Rav Shimon, because Rav Shimon doesn't accept Mukta, but he definitely accepts the Gzera, according to Tosfos at least, the Gzera of Tiltul Kalim in the case of Klisha Malachta L'Isur. So he's going to now get into the nitty gritties about the fundamental difference between Mukta on the one hand and the Isur Tiltul Kalim on the other. So that's what we want to pick up when we're there next week. And we're going to need pages 254 and 255. I don't know, did I give you
I
that?
I think I got that.
Okay, so here, if you don't mind, you know, copying that for the chevra. And Rabosai, that's going to force us to move a little bit on to what I call the very important development, the historical development of Mukta, meaning that there are different levels of Mukta and Kalim, and we're going to go back to the Nevi'im, and then through the Nevi'im to the different Xeris, and all this is going to be on Daf Kuf Chav Dalet. So we're going to make a plunge here to Kuf Chav Dal. We may have to skip a little and then come back, but we want to get to Kuf Chav Dal, because that's where the nitty gritties are. So I want to wish you a Chodesh Tov, a Chodesh Molei Simcha Mirtz Hashem, and Tzvi, it's good to see you. You're still here next week, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we got you for 1 week. We may lock you up in a closet, so you can't leave us.
March, back to the States.
But you're leaving before Purim or after Purim?
Right.
I forget.
After Purim.
Oh, after Purim. Oh, so you'll be here for another 2 weeks.
Before Pesach, yeah, we're going for two weeks between Purim.
But next week we have a full week. Am I right?
That's
right. Okay, yeah. Good. Now let me return this Mishnah Berurah to you. Okay. And
I'm carrying it around with me all the time.
Oh, this is your Mishnah.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
You really saved me, because it was so important to see it inside. You know, because the whole Reb Kveger is really on the Machab.
For a while there, you were using it quite often, so I bought one and I'm carrying it around with me.
Yeah.
You stopped using it.
I'll tell you, Don, I'm very finicky, you know. And you never know what, on any occasion, you know, I might get angry at you if you didn't bring in the safer that I asked you to bring in a half a year ago, which is, you know, that's ridiculous.
No, you can't get angry at that.
No, not angry. So, yeah, we have to try to avoid anger. That's going to be my drush of the Shabbos. Okay, then. So, Shabbat Shalom. Everyone should have a great, great Shabbos. Yehuda? Oh, he left me. Okay.
You're going to make those Shabbos now?